It's not a matter of mechanics. His first hit has the point. One has to learn to be personal. You know, and ultimately, this is God's person. God has a relationship with everybody. He's considerate. He's arranging for each and every living entity according to their need and desire. So if we want to function in that environment, we have to also be able to deal with that. Right? No, God is the man. You're the woman. Right? Because who's it all about? It's all about God. Right now you're sitting here and doing what you want. You know, you want lunch. I guess, you know, it happens. You want to breathe. You want to go out. You want to get married. You want to have kids. So it's all about God or it's all about you? Yeah, so what is that? What position does that put him in? Yes, that's the point. Is the masculine principle means that according to the need of the feminine principle, it acts. Right? You know a bit of grammar? A little bit of grammar. Okay, so you have the subject and object, or the nominative and accusative, or whatever you call it. Okay, so you have one noun that is connected to another noun by a verb, right? So that means the first noun or the subject is the active principle. That's the male principle. The one that the verb is being applied towards is the feminine principle. So it means the man is performing the action, but the action must be according to the need or mood of the feminine. This is the balance. The man thinks, it's what I want to do, how I want to do it, and then I'll be a man. No, it's how, what you want to do, how they want to do it. That makes you a man. So all this thing, man, so I feel emasculated, I don't feel in control. That means they don't know what a man is. Yeah, that's a woman who writes on Harvard. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Huh? No, generally they have bush hair. Some of them have one hair. Generally the one on the motorcycle is the man in the relationship. Maybe we're thinking of different ladies on the motorbike. I'm thinking of Berlin.
Is it so that the only relationship without any problems can be between the soul and God?
What does he mean by problems?
Different problems that are there in the human relationship.
But human includes the spiritual world. Because if you have a head, two arms, and two legs, right? and you practice the Vedic culture, that's human. Right? So, therefore, the human life here is a reflection of the human life there. So you would, means the point you make about the only relationship with no problem is with God. The principle is basically right, but you need to broaden it just a little bit to make it full. Right? The broadening would mean is no relationship where God's not the center of it or part of it, that won't work. You understand? Because God defines relationships. So you follow His directions on it, then you can have nice relationships with anyone. Because you're following the laws of God. Does that make sense?
None of us is without any sin.
Yeah, we're not without sin, but it doesn't mean you can't get along. Because the point is when you get to the spiritual world, there's still devotees there. There's still other people there. So the relationships are based with God at the center, so everything works nice. If you have a pond, it's very calm, perfectly flat water. And you take one rock and you throw it into the pond, it'll create circles. And all those circles will expand until those little ripples go across the whole pond, but it'll still be smooth and there'll be no disturbance. Right? If you take many rocks and throw it into the pond, all those circles will bump into each other and it will become, you know, very disturbed. Right? That's because there's all those different centers. So when we think I'm the center of the universe, it's a problem. Because each person thinks they're the center of the universe. But if you have one center of the universe, then everybody else in the universe can go around that center. So the only one center is God. Because He's the source of everything and everyone. Does that make sense? So if one can see God's, you know, instruction and Him in everything, then you have a good relationship with anyone. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, one person's having a problem, they're speaking about it, and the other person's listening. You know, so is it that the male-female principle in that the person who has the problem is in the female position, the one that doesn't have the problem and is trying to help is in the male position? Yes. See, the masculine-feminine principle simply means what's the active, which is passive. Right? It doesn't mean masculine has to be anatomically correct. You know, looks like a male. And because otherwise, like the parent and the child, the parent's in the masculine position. And the child's in the feminine position, right? But now, notice this. The parent's in the male position, which means they're the authority and the controller of the situation. But all of their action is about what? The kid, the feminine position. That's the masculine position. So when the husband, whatever he does in that is in consideration of the wife and what works and makes her happy, that's the actual masculine position. So generally what happens is women aren't satisfied because their men don't act like men, they act like women. Because the man wants it to be all about him. Point is if the man is doing everything about the woman, then if she's going to interact, how's she going to do it? She's going to do it towards about the man. If the man deals everything for himself, she'll respond by doing everything for herself. You understand? So the man establishes the flavor of interaction. The female then, within that, creates the variety. right? So if someone is having a problem, then you should be listening to their problem, seeing what the mood, and then seeing what is the point you can catch. And then from there, expand to make them feel comfortable. But in other words, you have to see that they're comfortable, they feel secure, their identity is very clear, right? Then from there you can move it into something else. If you haven't established their identity and make them feel secure, then it doesn't matter what you say about it. You know, all the philosophy, oh, it's just karma, and why do you care for all these envious people, and all that. You haven't dealt with them yet. Right? You have to deal with their position, how it is. You know, so this person shouldn't have done that. Of course it's karma, but they shouldn't do these things and this and that. You know, you were right in this and that. And that, or however it is. You have to find something that they feel secure. They're not secure, it doesn't matter. Right? Because why are they upset? Because they actually, the position that they would see themselves in doesn't exist. So they feel insecure. Right? So, does that make sense? So they're in that emotional position, you have to create security to make the balance. And then once they're secure, then they want to do something to generate an experience. Right? So that's the dynamic between those two principles. Right? You know, to experience something, you have to control something. If you're in control, you want to experience. So that's the dynamic between these two.
In the marriage. So, if you take another relationship, man.
Wait a minute. Okay, yeah.
So, because we are supposed to accept all other ladies or relate to them as our mothers. So, right. That means that we.
And you don't like your mother, so you don't know what to do.
I would like to understand how does it work, because that means I'm in feminine position and they are in masculine position. So, how does.
You're talking about relationship means mother means... In other words, mother, there's no question of conjugal relationship, right? So then, and mother, as you see, the element of, you know, the kindness, the nourishing, all these different things. So the point is that the son dealing with the mother, in this case, what you're taking, then the son's in the masculine position, the mother's in the feminine. Does that make sense? The daughter and the father, right? The father's in the masculine position, the daughter's in the feminine. Then she grows up, she gets married, it's husband and wife. She's in the feminine position, the husband's in the masculine position. Then when she gets older, then the son is taking care of her. He's in the masculine position, she's in the feminine. The point is that the brahmacharis deal in such a way that, you know, according to the mood of girls, how you would deal with them so that, you know, that you see that things are fine. You understand? Basic principle is how much do you have to interact? Not so much, but when you do, then it has to be proper. You know what I'm saying? You're serving prasad to the ladies. So since you're serving prasad, what's the important principle? To satisfy the person. So what does that mean? You serve it properly, as they like. You don't just hear the brahmachari and the line and all that. That's not going to make anybody happy. Even the men won't be happy. The brahmacharis won't care, but, you know. Their point is when there's food on their plate, fine. You know, but the lady, you know, a little bit, or she doesn't know she wants that preparation, so you give a little bit, then you come around, make sure that, it, you know, that they, if they like it, they get more. So you're considerate, you're sensitive to the situation. That's the point. You're just sensitive. It doesn't mean you get involved in all this kind of thing. That's not your business. As a brahmachari, that's not your business. You understand? Husband and wife, there's a sense of ownership. But in this case, there's no sense of ownership. So it's just cultured behavior. You know what I'm saying? Because the point is a brahmachari, you know, an actual brahmachari can deal properly with women because he has nothing to gain from them. You know what I'm saying? The point is what makes, yeah, see, is for the woman, then their nature is they are dependent upon other things for their satisfaction. Does this make sense? Means, in other words, if the environment's right, the activity in the environment's right, the results come properly, then they get the proper experience. But without proper environments, without proper actions and all that, they won't be happy. You understand? That's the feminine nature. The masculine nature, even if there's no situation, no action, no result, he can't be satisfied. That's something that women don't have. That's the uniqueness between the two natures. Women's nature is always like that. The man's nature, he can interact with that, but he can also be independent. You understand? So the respectable point of the brahmachari for the women is that independence, that he can deal with women, but he doesn't need them. That doesn't annoy women. They respect that. Right? What they don't like is brahmacharis who say they don't need women and deal with women badly. Because every woman knows that brahmachari is not actually a brahmachari. He needs to be married. But he's a bozo, no one would want to marry him. But he should be married. You understand? So the point is the real nice speaker brahmachari, if there's no women to deal with, he's comfortable. If he has to deal with them, he's comfortable. Because he has nothing to gain. And women respect that. They won't bother that brahmachari. Women don't bother nice speaker brahmacharis. Maybe a bad woman would, but any nice woman would never bother a nice speaker brahmachari. Because they know, they respect that. They like that. It's a power. Renunciation. Actual renunciation is an opulence. Women like opulence. So renunciation, not, it's an opulence. They like it. They respect it. But it has to be real. Probably said they have a sixth sense about that. So they can tell. Yeah. So in other words, it's just, what is the appropriate way to deal in the situation? You deal with, you know, consideration. You do that, that's all that's being asked. The women are only asking that you're considerate. Right? Does that make sense? You know. Yeah, so certain, all these group of devotees to go on the bus. You know, and that, and but there's a few extra devotees, though it's not that all the brahmacharis pile on and just say, ah, the women this and that's not our business and drive off and leave them there, they don't know what to do. Right? Consideration is put the ladies on the bus, if there's any room for the men, put them on the bus. And the rest of the guys are tough enough to figure out how to get home. Right? That's all that's being asked.
So there's a question here.
There's a question here. Yes. And to act in? To act in some field of activity. Isn't that what women always do? In other words, the man has that basic environment that he creates. But then how the particular manifestation, the particular activities or expression of that environment, that's what the woman does. Right? So she controls that aspect. You know, he provides the house, but what goes on in the house, that's what the woman does. You know what I'm saying? The man provides the money, but what you eat for dinner, that's what the woman does. So she controls that aspect. If she feels that the man's not doing something that she feels that would be the appropriate thing for the husband to be doing, then she'll find a way to get it across. Say it, or, you know, some other thing. So you can do it from the passive, expecting he's going to do it, or you can temporarily take the active position to get them to understand. And then once they take it up, then you go back to the passive. Does this make sense? Does that answer your question? Or you understand? Because if you have something very specific, then it's still quite general. It's just like this. And what it's like the place needs to be repaired or something like that. So then the wife can either say, you know, the place is falling apart, can you fix it? Or she can say, you know, I just went to someone out of their house that's so nice and so nicely taken care of, you know, ours isn't at all. Like, you know, some way she's trying to spark him to do something. So that's what women do. So we're discussing with him is that if there's no activity, there's no result. And activity and result give the experience. So if the man is inactive, then there's nothing to experience for the lady. So the lady is always creating opportunities for interaction, for activity. Does this make sense? Does that answer it or not? Because I'm saying, you were asking if the woman can do that. As far as I know, that's all they do. Whether the guy responds or not, that's another question. Okay, that's another question. You try plates. You know, he's sitting on the couch reading his newspaper, not listening to you, and suddenly a plate goes flying by and smashes on the wall. The point is you just have to make it very clear that this is his position in the relationship. He can't be lazy if he wants it to happen. The basic principle is women do not like lazy men. Because women are always active. So if the man wants to be the woman's equal, he has to be active. So what to do, I can't say. I don't know who the man is. He could go up and just, while he's there, rip the newspaper out of his hand and say, you know, whatever it is, you have to find some way to get through. You know, tell them, okay, you know, I need the house to be like this. You're not willing to do it. You need food. I'm not going to do it. You cook your own food. I'll fix the house. You cook dinner. I'll fix the window. So if you want me to cook dinner, you fix the window. You know, and if you don't want to fix the window, hey, I'll fix it. But then, no dinner. You know, you have to find some way to get through. Or tell a friend. Maybe they can explain it to them. Does that make sense? In other words, people, the biggest difficulty in disciplining someone that they don't like is a restriction or reduction in their facilities. You know, in their freedoms and these kind of things. So, control that. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah. So the point is you can only try your best. But use your intelligence. Women are four times more clever, so find a way to figure it out. You know what I'm saying? You know, if it doesn't work, then, you know, the next day he comes home and you're there banging on the window and fixing it all like that. When he asks about dinner, he says, what dinner? I'm fixing the window. When I finish, then we'll talk about dinner. You know, when I go to work today, I'm hungry. I've been fixing the window all day. You know what I'm saying? If you really want to have fun, don't respond to his anger. You know, just go ahead and do as if he's perfectly normal. And you're fixing the window. You know, screaming while I like slam the door, just slam the door. You know what I'm saying? You know, in other words, if you're dependent upon him, he won't do the things that he should because of, you know, he's comfortable in your dependence upon him without reciprocating by taking care of your needs. Then you take care of your needs and put up a front as if you're perfectly fine doing it. It's perfectly fine like that. And he wants to be involved and not, who cares? And then that puts him in, he's not the, you know, in the position of being me. It's you know, his feeling and sense of I'm the provider, I'm the this, I'm the that, and so therefore that makes him feel I'm the male in the relationship. It takes that away. You just do it yourself, pleasantly, nicely, so you can't get upset. You know, you can't use all varieties of expletives that to deal with you know, the canine species. You know, you can't say any of that because you're dealing very nicely. Try. All these things work temporarily. It's just a matter of whether you can kickstart it. You know? It's like the car is supposed to drive you. You get in the car, you turn it on, it goes. Right? But if you get in the car and turn it on, it doesn't go, you push it. You understand? But it should be trying to start. The Prabhupada ki, the Kavaka Vinda ki, and the Dai Goda Vinda.
Maharaj ki.